Two trucks having sex. Two trucks having sex. My muscles involuntarily flex. Two trucks having sex. Two trucks having sex. My muscles involuntarily flex. Two pickup trucks making love.
But of Auto Thoughts and the Septic Clowns, you are listening to Prime Cuts, a nonlinear history of the Transformers franchise on television. I'm one of your hosts, Nero.
I'm your other host, Audrey.
You're about bears? We got some bears for you. The animal kind, not the other kind.
I mean, Jawbreaker's there.
That's true. And Megatron is too.
That's true. Yeah, Megatron more than Jawbreaker. I'm still.
Let us not forget that they literally
born yesterday. Yeah, still.
But also we must remember that in IDW they did give Megatron chest hair.
The little
black squigglies on his chest. That's supposed to be.
We watched episodes 15 and 16 of Earthspark this week. The first one of which is. Speaking of bear necessities.
Another crime to add to the list of ghosts fucking infractions. What do we got?
Yeah. Like
mass
the thing about
surveillance. We got fucking secret super prisons. We got environmental destruction and pollution.
The thing about this one as well is that it's actually not, we don't actually understand the nature of this crime. We just know it's a crime.
They're just dumping like toxic waste in the woods.
I am on the fence about whether it is just like dumping toxic waste or
are they running some fucking experiments.
Yeah. That is what I am on the fence about. It's a crime. I'm just not sure how malicious we are here.
whether irresponsibly malicious or Agent Croft is trying to make an army of super bears to kill the Decepticons with.
Yeah.
Equally likely scenarios is what I will say.
But hey, don't worry about it. It's Mother's Day.
It is Mother's Day. Everyone's got their Mother's Day gifts. Alex, I love this list. Like, he names every mom he knows. Like, I sent them all the cards and all the stuff. But now I've got to go get your gift to Dot here.
The kids have various gifts. Hashtag Thrash and Jawbreaker do a freestyle rap. It's not very good.
No, he doesn't have bars, unfortunately.
But he's got the spirit. So it is Jawbreaker specifically.
Yes, Jawbreaker.
Thrash, like, musically accompanies him.
Yeah, if you really stretch the definitions of the word musically and accompanies.
Accompaniment, yes.
Hashtag has a little, I think those things are called a launch pad, the little DJ things there. You press buttons and play samples.
Yeah. Nightshade, little mommy's child that they are.
This is so funny. Yeah, so, but there's a little clue at the very beginning of the episode when Alex gets Dot her prosthetic leg and she puts it on and she goes, it feels different. That's weird. Anyway.
Yeah, so Nightshade, overachieving little mommy's child that they are, has created a new high-tech prosthetic for Dot.
But does not tell her about this as a surprise. Instead, they present that, what do they say? Like, I only recently learned about
upgrades.
Yeah, no, they don't tell her that yet. But they present as I only recently learned about the ritual of wrapping things in paper and then tearing them apart. So I just got you this hug.
So, God, I do want to talk about this. Particularly, I want to talk about the way that Nightshade looks here. Uh-huh. I had the thought here, which is funny given something that happens in the next episode, which is I really hope that Nightshade and Starscream get to interact.
Yeah.
At some point, because I think Starscream, ever since they got their alt mode, like, this is sort of the first time after they've gotten their alt mode that we're really, like, looking at them in, like, natural setting and seeing some of the details that have, like, shifted on their root form. And they have these, like, their hands have sharpened into these little talons.
Yeah.
We see later that even in root mode, they have these little glider wings. And it's, like, very polished, but, like, very sharp, very bird-like. And I think Starscream would love the opportunity to, like, meet another well-manicured flyer.
You're just a funny little guy.
Yeah.
Who got... Did Mo get Dot the homemade bird watching handbook, or was that Robbie?
I think that was Mo.
Yeah. And then, like, watching all of this, Dot's like, "Oh, thank you all so much." Twitch pulls Robbie aside and is like, "I'm gonna get a bad grade at Mother's Day. Help! I didn't get her anything. Help me, Robbie.
I didn't know we were supposed to get gifts for Mom." And Robbie's like, "Well, you know, you're a drone, Twitch. It's fine. I'm sure you can go fly and get something really quick." Yeah, like,
you know, like the classics, like chocolates, yeah. flowers, teddy bear,
a teddy bear.
And Twitch's tinnitus cuts off right after bear, or right after teddy, rather. And she says, "Got it," and runs away and returns
really quickly, like really quickly, really with a bear cub.
Really went to find that. She really just found a guy in the woods. So they bring Twitch flies in with the bear. It's like, "Happy Mother's Day," and Dot is like, "Twitch, what is that? Hey, what did you do? You've kidnapped this infant bear," and
Robbie, Robbie is also like, "Twitch, for the love of God, why?" Twitch is like, "You're the one who told me." Like, he's like, "Teddy bears." And he, like, looks at Dot. He's like, "Teddy bears. I said teddy bears. I promise."
Then hashtag leans in and says, "Well, you don't know what the bear's name is. It could be a teddy." Thank you. Hashtag. There's a shot I loved in a minute here where the camera is kind of far back, or kind of close in on Mo. And you just see hashtag's knees. She's so large.
There's like a moment, there's like several moments in this opening sequence where like hashtag almost either says something or almost says something and everyone else is like bumping into her to like stop her from doing so, but they're just like knocking into her knee or her like elbow or whatever because she's so fuck-ass huge.
Yeah. So Dot's like, "Okay, I know you didn't understand that what you did was kidnapping and wildlife endangerment, but we're going to go put the bear back now. Robbie, Twitch, we're going to give the bear back to its mother before something terrible happens.
And then I'm coming home and showing you guys all of Tiger King on Netflix.
We're going to watch Annihilation, and I'm going to show you." Like, when you think about it, this is basically Annihilation Babies, you know?
Yeah. From the people who brought you Looney Tune Babies.
What if the Annihilation Bear... You know, what if this bear made human screams? That's really what I think they should have done.
Yeah, I mean, it was... if you think about it, the Terrans kind of, like, come out protoform, like, the end of Annihilation.
Damn, that's true. Anyway, Dot's leg is... Dot's leg is secretly upgraded because Nightshade is a sneaky little motherfucker. And it has some settings. So if you say party, it starts lighting up and playing music.
It starts a disco.
Yeah, it starts a disco. And if you say fight, which Dot learns briefly when Twitch and Robbie are doing the classic siblings arguing thing in the truck, she's like, "I would like to not listen to you two fight." Her foot explodes the brake line because it shoots a laser.
Yeah. Oops. Nightshade. I love Nightshade's character because they are so fundamentally intelligent. And, you know, it's even like all the other characters comment on it. They are specifically, there's a specific line in the next episode talking about like their big brain.
Yeah. And but they're very smart. They're very just like tech savvy.
Utterly devoid of any common sense whatsoever.
They just don't have it. They just don't really think. They don't really like think about. Now, why would someone not like? They're just like, this will be such a great surprise for Mom. She's gonna love it.
I think their two new dads should be Starscream and Wheeljack. I think that would be a winning combination for Nightshade.
I mean, like, we're talking about scientists with no common sense.
Yeah, or scruples.
Yeah, scruples, definitely. So, yeah, they almost go over the edge of this cliff. Twitch stops it, but the bear runs off into the woods. And Robbie's like, oh, hey, problem solved. And Dot's like, no, that bear is like fucking a little baby who doesn't know how to do jack shit. If we let it run off in the woods, it's going to die or whatever. So we have to get it back to its mama. And Twitch is like, oh my god, I fucked up really bad, didn't I?
Yeah. Dot does, like, explain it to her.
And it's not in a mean way. She's like,
look. No, it's very much, like, the moral of the story part of the episode, right? Where it's you know, Dot is almost looking directly into the camera and saying, hey, kids. But... you know, she's like, how would you feel if you were taken away from me and taken away from your family? And Twitch goes scared. And then specifically she says, like I was when Thrash and I got taken by Mandroid.
Speaking of which, the other Terrans are back at the barn practicing the Mother's Day the Mother's Day play that they are rehearsing. Which does involve, it basically is just like a fucking recreation of that time Dot rescued them from Mandroid. But then, an unexpected guest appears. Mama's here.
Yeah, it's the bear for whom the bed is too soft. It's Mama Bear.
I like that everyone is scared of the bear because, you know, Mo is scared of the bear, obviously, because she's like a flesh thing. Later, hashtag picks the bear up like a dog. And I really do just think they all got caught up on the emotion train and hashtag didn't think about it. I mean, I'm really big and strong. I could just like pick the bear up.
All of them, even the smallest of them, like, okay, so what happens here? So again,
I think Thrash, I don't know, I think Thrash would have a hard time fighting a bear. He's roughly like small bear sized.
He's like 10 feet tall. He turns into a motorcycle.
Yeah, but he's kind of scrawny. But hashtag is big and buff, and Jawbreaker has hands the size of Jupiter.
And Nightshade is a bird of prey.
Yes, but all of them immediately run away.
Yeah, so they all immediately run away, which is funny because all of them turn into their alt mode. So, first of all, Mo, in like a really nuts thing that Mo says is like, we're going to kill this bear.
She's ready. Basically. She's ready to go.
What she actually says is, we're going to put this bear into an early hibernation.
She does, yeah.
Which is a truly nuts thing for this little girl to be saying.
Sylvester Stallone ass one-liner, we're going to put this bear in an early hibernation.
So they all transform except for Jawbreaker, obviously, who
is running.
Who doesn't have an alt mode, and Mo is in, you know, riding in Thrash, and she's like, all right, like, put him up, and then the bear roars, and then she's like, actually run. So they all run away, and the rest of this sequence is hashtag Googling what to do with angry bear.
They tell them, hashtag, please look up what to do about bears. And then she Googles it, and I assume here's the Grizzly Man tape. And then also,
she's unfortunately victim, as we all are now these days, to SEO sites.
Yeah, she gets an AI generated article.
Yeah,
what to do about bears is a very popular subject, and these are the things of what to do about bears that we have collected for you.
What to do about bears? Play dead, or maybe do not.
Or maybe not. What to do about bears? Picnic basket. Yogi joke.
There is a moment where she's like, okay, it says you play dead, and everyone just like collapse.
Yes.
The funniest one is Nightshade, who is in alt mode and flying.
You need to look really small, and so Nightshade becomes an owl, like an owl shaped bullet, and just folds up and just falls in the back, and you just hear them go clank, clank, clank.
Yeah, they just like collapse into themselves and just like plummet to the ground, and the bear like looks over its shoulder and then doesn't pay them any more mind. It's very funny. Jawbreaker though.
Jawbreaker is the one is assigned bait.
Handled it for some reason. I actually missed why the baby bear smelled.
Because Jawbreaker picked it up. The baby bear liked Jawbreaker and climbed in his hand and like licked him.
Got it. Okay.
So he actually handled the bear, but no one else has the bear scent, and the bear is chasing everybody. And Jawbreaker's like, why does the one without an alt mode have to be the fucking bait? This sucks. Because they're trying to aim the bear at the baby so that they reunite.
Yeah. So now that they have this like. Have the mother bear and also a way to lure her. They decide that they're going to try to find Dot now, mm-hmm. and Robbie and Twitch, and you know, see if they can meet in the middle. And
they're doing some bear tracking, and they come across a crime.
Okay, this scene is nuts for a number of reasons. One, for what's actually happening here, but also for the reaction from people.
Strong enough. Dot turns over one of these ghost crates that are just laying out here in the middle of the fucking woods.
And it is dozens of these ghost crates.
It's so many. It is so many ghost crates.
Leaking toxic waste. And she turns one over and there are grubs the size of Manhattan.
Yeah, the big ass grubs that scream at you if you poke them. And yet she just goes, yikes, seems bad anyway. It's like, hey, no, seems like a problem.
Specifically, like, Robbie is like, what the fuck? Yeah. Like, Robbie is like, is that? And she cuts him off before he can finish and says, a problem for later.
Literally, she
pulls out the not gonna ruin my day.
We're in bear recovery mode right now, Robbie. We can't worry about mutated grubs, okay? We just have to get going now. So they do eventually get the bear who is scared out of hiding by the party setting on Dot's new leg. And through a series of hijinks, the bear cub climbs onto a precariously balanced log overseeing a waterfall.
There's always one.
As one does. And also at this point, the mother bear, remember her? Her eyes are glowing now? Glowing bright pink?
Yeah, it's kind of funny that like no one commented on that before.
Yeah. So our parties meet up, and it's very funny because, you know, the bear is precariously perched. And Dot's like, all right, Twitch, don't go fly out there. We need to be calm and quiet, and then everyone else runs in screaming, pursued by bear.
Yes.
And then some fucked up shit starts happening.
Yeah, there's a nice little funny avoid the language censors moment here.
Yes, this was good.
Where, you know, all of them reunite, and Mo goes directly to Dot, as she is wont to do. And turns around and looks at this bear. Robbie is the one who starts it. Mo finishes it.
Yes.
But I think Robbie's the one who starts it.
That's isn't one he? Bad mother.
Yeah, that's one bad and
Dot says mother. Because the bear, what's happening is that the bear is exploding with goo and growing tendrils. And kind of melting and doing all sorts of things that generally brown bears are not supposed to do.
What Cult of the Lamb boss is this?
Yeah, this thing. So the bear rescue becomes complicated by the fact that, yeah, there is a sort of mini-boss situation happening, and also all of the Terrans are getting their fucking asses kicked by this bear.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's a bear with tentacles and stuff. Like, there's literally goo. Okay, so, you know, they fight the bear. Robbie.
I will say, I side-eyed this design a little bit. I'm like,
What about it? It just looks shitty.
I was like, was this made by someone with a fetish?
I don't know. Like, look, you can tell when a tentacle beast has been made by someone who has interesting ideas about things you could do with said tentacle beast. This doesn't give me those vibes.
For the most part, it didn't. There were a couple parts where I was like,
Look, you know, who can say? But the bear does beat everybody's asses. He literally throws hashtag into a mountain. Robbie tries to rescue the bear cub and ends up falling in the river.
Mo, Nightshade, there's a I really like this moment with Nightshade and Mo.
Mm-hmm.
Where Nightshade sees that Mo is in danger and goes runs, grabs her and goes into the sky. And again, we see their little, like, this, I think this is the first time we see their little glider wings that they have that they have in their root mode. They only get so far before one of the tentacles, like, wraps around one of the wings and starts pulling them down. And they just, like, hold on to Mo and say, it's going to be a rough landing. And that, like, recognizing that they're, like, having seen hashtag thrown into a wall and everything else, it's like, oh, this is not going to end well.
And they
do.
Gets dragged out of the sky. Jawbreaker goes to rescue the bear cub. I like the Jawbreaker and the bear cub form a bond.
There is a line from Jawbreaker earlier on when they were all playing dead. Yeah.
And then the bear starts licking him. The mama bear licks him. He's like, why do things love me?
Why does everything have to love me?
Sorry, buddy. You're just literally the most lovable guy in the world. Look at you. You're just such a pleasant looking man. what a lovely young man you are. We have the thing where the leg comes back because Nightshade sees that Dot is getting dragged into this bear's maw. Right when the bear is about to chomp, they go disco party and a bunch of lights flash out and blind the bear. And also I have a lot of questions about what the fuck is in those boxes. Because what happens here is that the goo bear fully separates from the flesh bear and becomes its own separate entity.
Yeah.
The hell are they doing down there?
Yeah. And then the separate entity dissolves.
Yeah.
I must say, the
goo, it kind of looks like melted slushy, and I kind of wanted to eat the melted
goo. So there's
a
couple
bear.
Things. Yeah. There's a couple of things I want to talk about. One is that as Nightshade activates the party mode, which does feel kind of like Tiger and Bunny good luck mode.
A little bit, yeah.
Honestly, doesn't actually do anything, but it just looks neat. The bear grabs on to the leg with like a tentacle or whatever and removes it from Dot. It throws Dot into the wall and her leg comes off when that happens. And as it's being distracted by Nightshade, she crawls towards, she has to crawl to grab her leg again.
Yeah.
And it's a really, I think, like, meaningful depiction of, like, the reality of disability.
Right.
Of having her being separated from her prosthetic in this kind of situation, and like it only lasts a few sections, but it's like it's hard to watch her crawling towards it. Like, it is a challenging thing to watch her do. And then when after the bear fully separates, she's the one who actually triggers its dissolution. Yes. By saying Happy Mother's Day and then saying fight, yeah, and blasting it with the laser.
I think they should have bumped the rating up on this one just so she could have said Happy Mother's Day, bitch, and then
yeah,
get some of that aliens vibes in there. The Goo Bear, okay, this is a new problem, by the way. The Goo Bear melts and falls into the river. That's gonna be bad.
Yeah.
We're gonna get some fucking sea monsters.
We're gonna get the three-eyed fish from Simpsons.
We are.
Yeah, I'm really not sure where this is. Like, this is the most I've ever felt unsure of, like, how these things are going to develop in this show.
Yeah, what the fuck, how is this gonna come back? Because so there's a nice little moment where Dot, as you know, talks to Night, she's like, hey, you know, I get the idea behind this, but I would stuff like that, you know, go, you just surprise modifying my prosthetics, that's something that's very personal to me. All that stuff.
Yeah, this is great because, like, I can't think of any other piece of media that has had such a frank conversation about mobility aids.
Yeah.
And how they are extensions of someone's body, and like how messing around with a mobility aid without their consent is like a physical assault.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, Nightshade is very contrite. They, you know, and she knows that they didn't mean to do anything wrong, but Nightshade afterwards is like, I'm sorry, I was only trying to help, but, you know, I understand. So no upgrades ever? And Dot's like, maybe, but, yeah, like, well, we need to talk about them.
I'll commission you, basically.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, we get one last thing before the episode ends.
Yeah, well, also, very importantly, Alex comes back with his Mother's Day present. He just finds them in the woods somehow, and you know, his Mother's Day present to Dot is some high power bird watching binoculars, and she looks up and sees the most fucked up bird I've ever seen in my life, and they say
it's a swan of some sort.
They say it's a trumpeter swan, which by the way is a real animal.
Yeah.
That is not what a trumpeter swan looks like. I don't know.
No,
what,
it's not.
It's like a big, bulbous, yellow freak. It's like a fucking, I don't know.
Did you not read The Trumpet of the Swan when you were, like, in elementary school?
I did not. That was not one of the things that I read.
Okay. It's a lesser-known book by E.B. White. And it was,
was this about how trumpeter swans are big, swollen, yellow freak birds who have two frames of animation?
It's about a trumpeter swan that doesn't have a voice.
Oh.
And learns to play an actual trumpet.
That's funny. That's a good bit.
Listen, it's the Stuart Little and Charlotte's Web author. Like, you know what this is.
Yeah. Whatever this thing is not a trumpeter swan. I think Dot needs to get her eyes checked because, yeah, I don't know what that thing is. It's like some
It looks like a Pokemon. It looks like a Clipper.
It looks like she looks up and says, yo, is that fucking Ho-Ho? Holy shit, I'm gonna be the Pokemon master. Anyway, back at Ghost.
This is so concerning. I have no idea what's going on here.
Something really fucked up is happening here, and we just have no information
on it. We get nothing.
Literally no dialogue. So at the beginning of the episode, what we see is some like random janitor looking guy dropping these fucking cases of waste out in the fucking woods. But then surprise, he goes back to Ghost HQ and it was all a holographic disguise. He was a ghost operative, and he walks up to Agent Croft and they just give each other a look.
That's well, okay. It. There's a couple things. He has holograms on.
Yeah, because he's driving like, okay, for some reason, it's very funny that they don't have a, like a fucking maintenance truck or whatever skin, so it's just a news van.
Right, it's a news van that is, so it's a hologram of a news van over the truck, and then it's a hologram of this random guy.
Yeah,
over
like,
this
like,
agent.
Like a janitor looking dude. But yeah, it's one of the like creepy looking ghost like soldiers with the helmet.
Yeah. I'm,
And they just, they just look at Croft and there's like a, she gives like a little nod.
I'm not convinced this guy is human.
I don't know what the hell is going on here.
Not convinced that this isn't like a hollow form kind of thing.
You mean Croft or the ghost agent? Because I mean, they the ghost all agent. Look.
Croft,
all,
Croft is obviously a person.
Well, the thing is, they all look like that. All of the ghost operatives, the armor just looks like that.
I know, but like so much of this show is about like Earth-based Cybertronian life forms.
So you think there's a secret Decepticon in Ghost?
I think there might be.
I mean, who? I wouldn't be surprised.
I don't think it's a secret Decepticon to Ghost. That
they have like a
a double agent.
So, that's it for Bare Necessities. Really, no, just Bare Adventures. No Autobots or Decepticons. But thankfully, the next episode has them in spades, because we're talking about Warzone, episode 16.
It starts off in a war zone.
Yeah, so we heard about this battle all the way back in like episode 1 with the goofy G1 flashback, where they talk about the Battle of the Space Bridge, where Optimus blew it up, and we actually get to see it.
It starts off with Bumblebee carrying the Allspark.
We get to see pre-swaggy sports car G1 style Bumblebee. He looks great.
Yeah. So he's running, racing towards the space bridge to get the Allspark in there, and you know, weaving in and out of Decepticons, including Shrapnel.
Yeah.
Who he, like, blasts and then, like, gives a very genuine-sounding apology to.
Yes. But, yeah, so they're doing, like...
sorry, Shrapnel.
Yeah, I don't know why he... Okay, I don't know. Look, you can apologize to a lot of stuff, but you can have, like, a friendly rivalry with a lot of Decepticons.
Yeah.
Once again, the Insecticons are literally just freaks. You don't have to respect them. All of them are weirdos.
They are truly barely sentient.
They are, Bombshell is a nightmare man who does freaky things with Cerebro shells. Shrapnel, I don't know, he just looks gross. And Kickback never does anything because no one cares about the fucking Grasshopper Insecticon.
Yeah, no one cares about Kickback.
You simply don't turn into a cool bug. I'm sorry. The other two turn into cool bugs. Grasshopper's not cool.
We see a lot of the characters we've already seen. Thunder, not Thundercracker. Skywarp and Nova Storm are both in this fight scene.
Hardtop, Swindle, Soundwave, they're in the mix.
It was Ravage who
yes
took down Bumblebee eventually, yeah, right? So yes. Megatron, Optimus, and Bumblebee are basically trying to play keep away.
They're playing a high stakes game of cube with the world's most high stakes cube, which is of course
the Allspark,
the damn Allspark.
Most notably, I would say of the people we see here is Starscream. We see the most of him so far.
First Starscream we get, and you know what, Steve Blum is literally just doing prime Starscream voice.
Which is fine. It is actually kind of fun seeing it come off of this much more G1 design.
Yeah, it's great. I loved hearing it again. It's like,
What is interesting, and I don't think this means as much in Earthspark as it does in other series, but I noticed for the first time that Starscream's eyes are blue.
Oh. That is, which is interesting. They're almost always red.
Yes. I mean, the rule tends to be Autobot blue eyes, Decepticon red. We do have more variation in Earthspark for sure. A bunch of people on all sides, Autobot, Decepticon, and Neutrals have yellow eyes. Nightshade has green eyes now. And I'm pretty sure Hashtag has purple.
Yes. It's hard to tell behind the visor. They kind of look bluish. So, it's this big battle. Bumblebee gets got, so he passes it to Optimus. Optimus, there's a bit where Optimus just smacks Nova Storm out of the sky, and there's just a big explosion.
The Seekers just get their ass beat so much in this show. But, like, she's also back, like... a few seconds later, because she's with Starscream holding him down.
Yeah,
holding
down Megatron. She just explodes with it, just gets back up and is rumbling.
Yeah, it's Squidward explosion .gif.
Yeah. So then Optimus also gets got, and then Starscream grabs it and is like, I got it. And then Megatron stomps on him and grabs the Allspark.
Yeah. But eventually, it, you know, Starscream and, again, Noah Storm comes back. The two of them are able to, like, sort of tag and pin down Megatron. And then right in front of the space bridge is Soundwave, who's blasting all of them with
Soundwave. The goalie. Yeah, so the space bridge is active. And, of course, we know how this ends because we heard about it. Megatron throws the Allspark into the space bridge and Optimus blows it up, seemingly destroying the space bridge, which was the only link back to Cybertron, and seemingly destroying the Allspark.
Well, possibly destroying the Allspark.
We don't know where it is. It is presumably destroyed. But we have.
I would not say that it was presumably destroyed.
The characters presume it is destroyed.
I didn't even feel that way from the characters. I feel like the characters are truly like we just don't know.
It's lost. No one knows where it is. If it's still around, it's just floating around in space somewhere.
Or it made it back, and we'll never know.
Maybe Cybertron is back. There's literally no way to tell because they severed the only link.
I hope you like this sequence because we see it two more times in its entirety in this episode.
We'd love, and it's not even really a Rashomon thing where we see different little. We only see one little detail change, which is Starscream trying to catch the Allspark.
Yeah.
And then we transition from this to the Terrans and the kids LARPing. LARPing
their words, not ours.
Yes. Hashtag literally does call it LARPing.
Yeah,
they're LARPing the fucking Battle of the Space Bridge, which
at the memorial
at the Space Bridge memorial, and Megatron is not terribly pleased with them.
I am really glad though that based on my thoughts in the previous episode that, Nightshade is like, no, I'm supposed to be Starscream.
Yes, I'm the one who can fly. Yeah, because Hashtag says that she wants to be Starscream, but I mean, it really only fits.
Yeah, and Nightshade's like, no, I'm Starscream. We've been over this.
So, Megatron, tells him, like, yeah, sorry about that. Just this place just puts me in a bad mood. It's got a lot of bad memories here, a lot of people died.
Robbie and Mo are like, yeah, sorry about being culturally insensitive. Or we know this was like a bad time for you. Hashtag bless her. This is where she says the word LARPing. And she's like, all right, I get how you're like bummed about us, like LARPing this big battle where a lot of people died is. But like, if we're not here to do that, then why are we? Why did you ask us here? And he's like, field trip.
Yeah, we're going on a little field trip. And Thrash, you can tell Thrash is immediately a little annoyed with all this. Everyone else is eager to learn, though. By the way, I think it's very funny that they call him Mr. Megatron. Mo calls him Mr. Megatron. I just love
it. And Twitch does.
Yeah.
As well.
That you guys like some Megatron and Twitch stuff? We got it in here. Oh,
it's so good. Oh my god. Why does Twitch have the best relationships with everyone in this show? Don't answer. It's because she's the best character in the show.
Yeah, because she's the best character. So Megatron brings them to like the main memorial, and it's like
this is nuts. It is straight up the Vietnam War Memorial.
It is the Vietnam War Memorial. It has the big monoliths, but they're all in Cybertronian. They're all in Cybertronian text.
Yeah. And they're in a semicircle as opposed to like slabs in a line. But like
the center of it is a big holographic display that brings up a big thing of the Allspark. And this is where I lost my shit. I popped big because on the Allspark they literally look exactly like the spark flowers from IDW-1 from the Necrobots planet, which is a big thing.
And they are, to be clear, like the same. They are the same thing. They're like they very close to what they are. Well,
they're okay. So they are representational of someone who died.
Yeah, Right. They're not the representation of someone you killed.
Yes, which is the big moment, the big page in IDW where Megatron goes to look at his statue, and it's just an endless field of spark flowers.
But these are called remembrance flowers, and they are a little bit of the soul of everyone that died here.
Autobot, Decepticon, and human. He makes sure to go say that. And yeah, there's a little bit here where Twitch just goes up to hold his hand while he's talking about it.
Yeah, and he gets lost in the memories. He's like, oh damn.
He's talking about why he changed sides, and he's like, you know, he eventually realized that, like, you know, the AllSpark is, as it usually is, the sort of lifeblood of the planet, right? It is the creator of life. And this war over it, he realized that, like, we are driving ourselves to extinction over this. And whoever has the AllSpark gains the ability to basically win the war, because you can make infinite guys with it. As we see shortly when somebody shows up. Because we got a new guy here, and I like to see him.
So, as sort of his personal history lesson,
yeah.
Megatron says, during the battle, I was here under Optimus's orders, which is interesting.
Yeah, so this was already out because during the battle, Starscream calls him an Autobot lackey.
He's already
defected.
And
he talks about, because Nightshade asks him, what caused your metaphorical change of heart here? And Megatron's like, well, it's not really any one big moment, but it was more someone. And you're like, oh, is it going to be Optimus? No. Don Malto. I saw a human soldier treat my kind with more compassion than I had in millions of years. And I went, fuck. Shit.
Yeah. Damn. Good shit.
Good shit.
But what is interesting is that he was under Optimus's orders, that he was reporting to Optimus. I find that very interesting. That was a dynamic that I don't think we'd heard before. That Optimus ended up being his commanding officer for some of it. Anyway, Optimus is like, you need to go behind enemy lines. They have, like, so...
The Decepticons have, like, the AllSpark. And we finally get an answer to something I was interested in, which is, who led the Decepticons in Megatron's absence towards the end of the war? Well, and we have our answer.
Well, folks, as is often the case, it's Shockwave.
Shockwave is here. The problems man has arrived. He's a racist later, by the way. I love this Shockwave.
They've made a very interesting design choice with EarthSpark.
I want to congratulate Shockwave on his breast reduction surgery.
Yeah, but they made him very sexy.
So he's voiced by Troy Baker doing his sexy Troy Baker voice.
Yeah, He's voiced by Troy Baker. His design is like body yada yada yada.
Yeah, this is a svelte Shockwave.
Yeah. Big titties, little waist. Yeah. Like,
he does have a snatched waist.
The snatched waist and, like, the leg designs. Very smooth curve. And, like, the way he holds himself and talks, there is something, like, very sexy about this Shockwave. And I'm not comfortable with it.
This Shockwave is a femme fatale. So yeah, the big confrontation that Megatron has with Shockwave here in the past, because Shockwave, he sneaks in to get the AllSpark, but Shockwave confronts him. And you know, Megatron tries. It's clear that he does not. He calls Shockwave old friend. They are old friends, right? This is not a Marvel comic Shockwave situation where he is basically a Starscream 2. They had a good relationship, but of course now it is strained, and Megatron tries to get him to see reason of, like, if we, you know, this war is going to drive us to extinction, and Shockwave says, I have a baby army. fuck you.
Yeah, extinction this.
He literally says, like, yeah, he's like, Megatron's like, the losses are catastrophic. And Chuck was like, it's fine. We can just make more. Why does it matter? We'll win the war and fucking blow up this ugly ass mud ball and all these gooey humans and resurrect Cybertron under Decepticon rule. And they will all kneel before us. And Mega, that's when Megatron's like, you have lost your way. That we started this whole thing so no one would have to kneel, Shockwave.
Sorry. I'm gonna share an image with you I just found. I was trying to find like more references for how he looks in this series.
For Sex Wave.
Right, for Sex Wave, but instead I found this that I'm about to share with you. Nope.
Oh my god. Oh my god. Holy shit.
Okay. Pretty good, right?
Yeah, it's pretty good.
We can post this if I can find who the OP of it is. I'll post it on it's on Fur Affinity, so
that's a very funny place for it to be.
It's pretty funny place for it to be. I mean, you know, so, Nightshade's
yeah
kind of an animal.
it technically counts. Anyway, Megatron puts him in the go to sleep. Puts him in the go to sleep pod. He puts him in the stasis chamber, and I love. So he puts he's like, Shockwave, you've gone too far. You've lost your way. I gotta do this, old friend.
And Shockwave literally is so shocked by this.
He gets shoved in there. He's like, you know, he looks as shocked as Shockwave can with his, you like, know,
traitor.
And literally, he just says traitor, and then goes to sleep. And Optimus immediately, like, and Megatron says, I'm sorry, old friend. And then literally, 1 second later, you just hear Optimus go, good job!
I feel part of me, given how Earthspark Optimus has been acting so far, kind of feels like he was waiting in the shadows to see if Megatron would really do it.
Oh, I bet he was, yeah. I bet he's like...
He is there with Bumblebee.
Yeah, Bumblebee is also there.
Right, because this is directly preceding the opening sequence that we saw. For this episode,
yeah. And then Megatron gives it to Bumblebee. They are going to return it to Cybertron, but you know the Decepticon attack causes them to rethink their plans. So this is when we kind of, you know, it's been implied throughout this show, but we finally get a reason as to why this is the case. Megatron says, you know, without the Allspark, Cybertron is dead. Like, it is a dead world now if the Allspark is not there. And he's like, it might be destroyed, it might be lost. Either way, there's no way for us to reconnect with Cybertron and revive it. Which is why the you Terrans are so important. That's why we're trying to impart these lessons on you. And Thrash says, man, that's gay. That's gay as fuck.
This is some bullshit. I'm out.
Yeah. Well, you fucked up a whole bunch of shit. Now you want it to be our problem? I'm going to go over here.
I'm so mad. I'm going to go have sex with my girlfriend so we stop being so mad.
Have you ever been bitch slapped for lack of listening? Yeah, Thrash gets trolled coming to fucking Discord near you 2027.
Thrash, wake up. You fucked up big time, Megatron.
You could easily do some Earthspark edits of fucking Tails gets trolled. It would be so fucking easy.
Fucking Twitch in the back of the car. Do you know that more people are killed by cars every year?
You know what, briefly, fucking killed by seatbelts in car crashes every year? I just think that was interesting.
Yeah, I just thought that was interesting.
Yeah, I feel like let me reach over here, let me dig through my stuff. I'm grabbing the lathe of heaven over here, I have it in my hand.
We're gonna Thrash start gets a trolled. We're gonna start a Patreon just so we can get money to have this commissioned.
I need a full, all of the beautiful panels.
We won't use it. Pinky promise, we won't use it on anything for ourselves. We're just going to commission the entirety of Tails Gets Trolled, but as the Spark characters.
Who's the guy with no ears? That's my question. in the Troll Slayers.
I mean, right now it's Jawbreaker, isn't it?
The fuck, he is the guy with
guy with no alt mode.
Guy with no alt mode. What's that? I don't have a fucking alt mode. So yeah, Thrash. Thrash is kind of frustrated. Everyone, like, because he feels, and I think he is not, you know, his feelings aren't incorrect or whatever. What he's taking away from these lessons Megatron is trying to impart is, like, it just seems like Megatron fucked a bunch of shit up, and now he's like, you have to fix it. And Mo goes to talk to him, and she's like, I don't think it's necessarily that. I think it's more that he's trying to make sure that the next generation doesn't repeat the mistakes of the past. Never really like fixing. He doesn't expect you to fix anything, because you can't fix what's been done. You know?
Sorry, I'm thinking of Nightshade and Tarantulas. Why are you so filled with so much aggression and hatred? I'm finding it difficult to assume what you must have went through to mold you into the person standing in front of me right now.
man.
All right. I'm actually crying now, so we need to get off of this train. Anyway. I'm sorry. That's on me. You were trying to get us off of there, and I brought us back.
Look, it's hard to escape the orbit of Thrash gets trolled. Anyway, Shockwave wakes up. Nothing wakes him up. The pod just sucks.
Yeah, so this is sort of the issue that I have. So I was saying to Nero before we started recording that these are probably, as a pair, my least favorite episode, or the episodes I've been least interested in. I shouldn't say least favorite, but like the least interesting episodes to me. And the issue with this one is that like things sort of just happen.
Shockwave just shows up. Yeah, I agree. I like all of the other shit. I love the stuff with Megatron and the kids.
Yeah, 100%.
Shockwave waking up is just like a thing to give us a third act.
Basically. I mean, so again, his base or whatever is directly underneath where the space bridge was. So
he's in like the space bridge control room, I guess.
Yeah. And, you know, that's where the stasis pods were. So, you know, presumably maybe it was just them like running around and doing something that like cracked the pod underneath.
Yeah.
But things just sort of like happen. And like, if it feels a little, the plotting of this episode feels a little half-baked. Yes.
It's just like, it's time for Shockwave to show up now. And he does show up. He comes out, and he's like, yo, he is the community gif. He's fucking Donald Glover entering the room. And it's all on fire. And he's like, what the fuck? The space bridge blew up. And Megatron's like, hey, it's been like a long time.
Well, first he's like, everyone get behind me. Yes. And he's like, all right, Shockwave, you've been in a coma.
Shockwave, you've been asleep.
The war has been over for 15 years. And Shockwave's like, uh-huh. And just like sends out a grappling hook and grabs Thrash.
Yeah, what do we think about Shockwave's arm here?
I like this design a lot.
Because it's not the classic just gun barrel that most Shockwaves have. This one has like a multi-tool arm. It's like a spike.
I really like the shape of it. I think given his general design in Earthspark of being like a much more trimmed down Shockwave than we're generally used to, I think having him end in more points is like a really good design choice to follow through with that. Anyway, he grapples. He's just straight up like yoinks Thrash, and like everyone is like gets like really tense, and Megatron's like, leave them out of it. Like, this has nothing to do with them. If you have an issue, it's with me, and you know it. And Shockwave's like, do not test me, bitch. Like, holding Thrash up. Yeah, like, do not try me. Do not test me. And he, like, looks at Thrash and then, like, looks at the other Terrorids, and he's like, what crimes against God have you committed? What the hell are these things?
He watches all of Earthspark. He scans Thrash's mind with his cortical psychic patch.
Yeah.
And he gets all the info, and then he, like, throws Thrash away, and he's like, you are freaks. All of you are freaks and you need to die right now.
Yeah, the actual word is like, what are these abominations? And Mo is like, they're not abominations.
He literally calls them accidents. Accidents of the Emberstone.
Oh, right. Accidents of the... They're not accidents. Oh my god. Yeah, so he's like,
He calls them like cybrids later.
It is very funny to have Shockwave be the one to, like, draw hard ethical lines when it comes to science.
Yeah, real fucking rich coming from you, buddy. I've seen your work.
Yeah, so, like, but he's like, man, I thought, like, it's like, we had issues, but what you've done with those, that, like, that's beyond fucked up. Anyway, welcome to the Terror Dome.
Yeah, so he has the immobilizer, by the way. He keeps that motherfucking thing on him. He immediately freezes Jawbreaker hashtag and Twitch, and then puts Megatron in the goddamn Thunderdome.
Yeah. What he says here is interesting, because there is something of a feeling, and I wonder if this is because, you know, he scanned Thrash and saw everything that had happened. The way Shockwave acts at this point is not the actions of someone who is particularly interested in their own survival.
He literally does activate the self-destruct mechanism.
Yeah, what he says is, let's send off some fireworks before we go. He literally says, like, let's go with the show of fireworks. And it's like a very huge, you are coming down with me hand and unlovable hand moment.
Yeah, for sure. He's basically like, this is all fucked. I don't want to live in this world anymore.
It's sort of thing where it's like, or Megatron's like, the war's over. And Shockwave says, the war's, there will always be a war as long as I'm here to stand up to you.
Yeah.
And it is very much like, I don't care if I win, I just need you to lose.
Kind of thing. It's one of those situations, yeah. So he sets the space bridge power cells to explode. And Nightshade and Thrash and Mo are still around. Yeah, Robbie, Mo, Thrash, and Nightshade are still up. And Thrash is like, oh god, he's gonna blow the fucking power cells. Nightshade, can you stop that? And Nightshade goes, yeah, probably. I can do anything.
Yeah.
Get me in that room, I'll turn it off.
Yeah, I'm just thinking about this Shockwave more, and it is such a unique thing to have a Shockwave who has, like, strong moral lines, even if they're, like, very different than moral lines that anyone should have, even if they are, like, objectively bad, that there's, like, that he has these limits.
Shockwave is almost always someone who is very logical, right? He is defined by logic and does not allow emotions to be a factor in his decision making, right? Especially, say Prime Shockwave or Marvel Shockwave or IDW Shockwave.
Well, I mean, particularly IDW Shockwave, yeah.
Shockwave feels emotions very strongly, and particularly the emotion he feels very strongly in this episode is disgust.
Yeah.
Which is interesting. And also the fact that he's like, I'm going to take both of you down with me. Which, no matter which way you put it, that's not a logical course of action.
No, that is what he's feeling is betrayal.
Yeah. He's fucked up about it.
Yeah. He has a cool ass alt mode.
Yeah, he turns into like, it's like a
War of the Worlds alien.
It's not a walker tank. It's like, it's got legs, but it's got treads on the legs and it can roll around. It did give me big War of the Worlds vibes, or like the fucking Shagahod from Metal Gear 3.
Yeah. It looks dope. It's very cool.
He can fucking drift, by the way.
Yeah.
He has schmovement as this like freaky little sci-fi tank. It rules.
Generally speaking, this was the other disappointing part of the episode for me. I thought this fight scene was pretty disappointing.
Yeah,
it was just like things happened.
He just falls over.
Yeah, he like
gets shot a bunch.
Like he gets shot a bunch and it barely does anything, but he's like, oh no, I'm dead. And then like some rubble falls on him and he's just like, what?
Rocks fall on him?
Like what? What's going on here?
I do. I hope they get, I hope Shockwave comes back to do some cooler stuff. Cause yeah, this, compared to most action sequences in Earth Spark, this one did not have
just,
the sauce.
Yeah. It just missed the mark.
It was not like that with the beginning of that one episode with the craziest fight scene I've ever seen in my life with the fucking rock fusion cannon powered choke
pile slam. Driver.
So yeah, Shockwave. So Mo actually ends up being the one to break through the energon repulsion field because the Terrans can't do it, but she can.
So Nightshade and with
difficulty actually because of her
jawbreaker. Of her what?
Well, she actually has some difficulty getting through the shield.
Yeah. Yes, she
because
does.
Of
so
her glove.
So Robbie, Nightshade, Thrash, and Jawbreaker head down into the base.
No, they're all of the other three Terrans are still frozen. And specifically, Bo is there to look after the rest of them because they got immobilized.
Okay, it's just Nightshade and Thrash.
Yeah, they're both
and
down
Robbie
there.
Go down. And they're trying to stop the self destruct sequence,
which they do pretty quickly.
Yeah,
let's be real. There's not a whole lot of tension going here. Mo moves some rocks off of Megatron, and I love this line from Shockwave. Ugh, humans, sentient bags of goo.
Yeah.
Get the fuck out of here.
I love him. I really like this interpretation of Shockwave. Again, obviously a guy who sucks, but like with so many of the other, particularly antagonists that we've seen, like in a very multi-dimensional way.
He's a type of villain I really like, which is a villain who is shitty, but is principled about things and believes in those principles, even if those principles are not good or correct. But
and
he will stand
like,
by
is a
them
person.
Till the day he
fucking like,
is dies.
More than just like a series of personality traits painted onto a character, but is like an actual person. So that is nice to see. It, you know, I think some of it goes back to Earthspark's pretty high regard for G1, where the Shockwave was very emotional.
Yeah. Females! So I mean, there's also a little bit of IDW Shockwave in this guy, specifically a lot of the stuff about like he wants to rebuild Cybertron in Decepticon power and his disdain for the Terrans of like you are not.
Yeah.
He basically feels like they aren't Cybertronian. They're like you're an affront stand for.
He's a little bit of a supremacist.
And we know Shockwave loves him some Cybertronian empires. IDW1 Shockwave specifically. He literally invented that shit.
You wouldn't invent an empire.
Watch me, bitch. And I'll do it all in a fursuit.
You wouldn't invent religion.
I'm going to kill the centaur, skin him, and wear him for 5 fucking million years. Check this shit out.
God.
You wouldn't do this on concrete.
Anyway, check out my 8 million year plan to make Starscream into a patsy.
Literally, it wasn't even his plan from the beginning. He accidentally got sent back in time and was like, I can work with this.
Yeah.
let me cook. Let me cook real quick. Hang on.
Or real slow as the case may be.
Yes.
While I wait for our species to be born.
Let me cook real gradually. Let me invent the devil real quick. That'll be good. Anyway, speaking of respect for G1, Megatron literally pulls the Optimus killing maneuver here.
Yeah.
Where he does the fake out and then grabs the gun.
And then he just shoots Shockwave mobilizer and that's the end of it.
He falls through the floor and then Shockwave's inert body lands right in front of the Thrash, who said, "Holy fuck, I shit my pants."
Yeah.
Literally. He's like,
like
if I wore pants, I would have had to change them.
Yeah.
It's Thrash. So yeah, the ghost takes the brand new Shockwave statue away. I wouldn't trust them with that personally.
There's like layers of how bad things are getting here. It turns out there's like no good group. And in fact, like, Rogue Decepticons might be the biggest group of like free acting agents who are trying to do positive things, which is also incredibly something to say, huh?
Like, I feel as though Breakdown from the previous episode is like a little bit more heroic than Optimus himself right now.
Oh yeah, for sure. But like, even if you look at the actions of the, like, you know, again, like, you look at Tarantulas,
yeah,
you look at, like, it's like, these are not bad people.
So many of them are completely correct about what's fucked up about ghosts. And granted, Shockwave is not completely correct about anything, but you know,
though, to be fair, I will say, to be fair to Shockwave as well,
he doesn't know.
He has not been around for the post-war period.
He doesn't know what ghost is. He's like, wow, you guys are fucked up even for me. Or he's like, can I join you all?
Yeah. I don't know.
No, he would never do that because
he hates humans.
He would never work alongside the sentient bags of goo. Yeah. I do like there's a line here in Shockwave's fight with Megatron where he says, you think you can start over with these lower class cybrids? And Megatron, like, just roars, class, you've learned nothing, and starts beating the shit out of him. He's like, brother, we did not launch this revolution for you to be talking about class to me right now.
Yeah.
I'm going to slap that eyeball out of your head.
Keep the name of my union out of your mouth.
there's a little moment that the Terrans have with Megatron where they're like, you know, if we're gonna be hashtags, like, if we're gonna be the shining hope of the Cybertronian race, we'd kind of like some advice about that because we don't really know where to go from here. And this is, I have Megatron's dialogue right here, verbatim. He says, "When the day comes for you to emerge from hiding, expect harsh words from those who do not understand. Stand up for yourselves, yes, but remember, do not let your disagreements divide you. The Decepticons and Autobots could have accomplished so much more had we remembered that. Do not do what we did. Do better."
This show's fucking good.
And it zooms in on the logo of the Space Bridge Memorial, which is a Cybertronian and human hand shaking hands there. By the way, did you know there was a really big deleted scene from this episode?
No, what happened?
Do you remember when Soundwave got captured and he let Ravage loose?
Yeah.
We're going to follow up on that, because that never comes back.
Just
telling you right now, that shit never gets brought up again.
Well, you know, season two. You never know.
There's supposed to be Starscream in this, like, actual present-day Starscream in this episode, talking to Ravage.
Well, I eagerly await his further appearance in this show.
Oh my god, okay, hang on, from the wiki. A set of deleted scenes for this episode would have continued the Ravage Infiltrates Ghost plotline set up in Decoy, with Ravage stealing a remote control device from Ghost's evidence locker room and bringing it back to Soundwave and Starscream. Starscream then activates the device, which is what releases Shockwave instead of just the wear and tear of age causing his pod to malfunction. So the Shockwave's release would have been much less inexplicable. Like something else would have happened. So yeah,
that's fair.
Also, apparently this would have confirmed Ravage as a girl in her spark.
Feminism.
This infiltration cat is a girl boss. So that is Warzone. You know, yeah, I think a lot of good stuff, a lot of fun stuff. By the way, did you spot some cameos in the little footage that Megatron showed of the Decepticons attacking? Did you see some funny triple changers in there?
Oh, were there? I wasn't paying attention, honestly. Well,
Blitzwing was soy facing at the camera, pointing at the White House getting blown up, and then Astrotrain was shooting at the White House in the background in shuttle form.
God, that's so good.
Literally Blitzwing with soy facing. I looked at it, I was like, he is literally doing the thing. He's pointing backwards and yelling at, and like open mouth at the camera. Thank you, Blitzwing.
Pretty fucking good.
Who, of course, you know, neither of those guys have shown up, but who knows?
Yeah.
Maybe in the future. I do like me some Astro Train. Anyway, we have questions. We have one on Twitter, by the way. We have one on X, the Everything app. what is Cosplay Cass on Twitter? If they could eat, which of the Multobots would slurp up some bugs? Not the one in this episode. Like Anakin in the Tarkovsky Clone Wars. And she has provided a gif of Anakin Skywalker slurping on that worm.
Okay. I have very strong opinions about this. I've already decided all of them.
Thrash,
yes. So Thrash would be, I think, neutral on it. Would not go either way.
Okay. Okay, here's the thing. Who watches The Lion King?
Okay,
who thinks those bugs look so yummy?
I just have to do with my theory. So my opinion, Thrash would be neutral. He would not care for either way. Twitch and Jawbreaker would be firmly in the no camp for two different reasons. Twitch because texture bad. And Jawbreaker because I think Jawbreaker is as close as we could get to Transformer vegetarian.
He doesn't want to harm any living beings.
Yeah, I think that would like gross him out, not for like bug reasons, but because I think the idea of consuming anything that was alive would gross him out.
Yeah.
Hashtag would be all over that shit.
She
And I think Nightshade would be as well.
I think Nightshade would... Tarantulas does it, obviously. He's a spider.
Owl! They eat bugs!
Yeah, they are. But okay, I want you to imagine... I want you to go on a journey with me.
Yeah.
This version of Tarantulas is exactly the same.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is the same.
Mm-hmm.
But he shares Beast Wars Tarantulas' love for eating animals.
Yeah, no, I think that's fair.
Just like you're walking around the graveyard and you hear just the wettest slurping noises you've ever heard as Tarantulas goes to town on those rats.
I am telling you that like Nightshade, I think, very much believes in Circle of Life type shit. They're like, this is the alt mode I took. It is an expression of myself, and that expression eats bugs.
And Hashtag does it because she watched a lot of Fear Factor.
Hashtag likes to crunch. Hashtag just thinks it's neat.
Hashtag watched The Lion King and was like, that looks fucking delicious.
Yeah, exactly.
I wanna try that shit.
Okay, should we move over to Discord?
Might as well, yes.
All right. Our first question this week comes from Short Scream Chet. Going into the series for the first time, would you have guessed you would have seen a Lovecraftian nightmare bear melt into toxic goo on the show? Absolutely not. Why would I have ever imagined that?
Not on my bingo card, personally. Not a thing you really expect to see in a lot of stuff.
Yeah, no, that one caught me by surprise. We have a bunch of questions here from Veer, Nero from Disney Minus. First, would you download a baby bear or just steal one from the zoo? I love downloading.
I mean, they're free in the woods. You can just go grab one. That's what Twitch did. Free, you just go in the free dogs in the woods. Go grab one. But watch out.
But watch out. You can do it once. Would you want Megatron to be a high school history teacher? This one, sure.
Yeah, I think he'd be good at it. I can see him in like the tweed jacket with the elbow patches.
He'd be fired for teaching CRT.
Absolutely. But... Oh, you know he's your super passionate communist history professor in college.
Yeah. But I think it'd be great.
He's got tenure, so they can't do shit.
Is Shockwave dead in the picture or just napping?
He is just napping.
He's just napping.
He's in stasis lock.
Yeah, he's in a coma. It's fine.
Again.
You know, we let him out and he didn't do well with his second chance. So now he goes back in the box.
Everyone deserves a second chance and he used his second chance to be racist.
Yeah.
So we froze him again.
And finally, what do you do to give yourself hope at the end of the world?
Boy, howdy.
Which is a very real question these days.
Uh-huh. Yeah, honestly.
I mean, mostly I, you know, try to spend precious time with friends. Mm-hmm. I podcast. you know, I always think about that Disco Elysium quote when I, like, things are really low, where it's like, a better world is possible for other people.
Yeah.
It's too late for us.
That's where I was. I think, you know, as well as the hanging out with your friends and doing the things that come for you, I'm like, I think about the length, the cycles and length of time, and that everything passes.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, the hope for the future is what you build for yourself. Mm-hmm. A better world is possible. I do genuinely believe that. And, you know, you have to make the conscious choice to fight for it. So that's what I do.
Play a lot of fighting games. I don't know if that helps. That mostly just makes me despair. That's not true. I have fun playing fighting games.
Scoot from TF2, Daphnis asks, what is the strangest experience you've ever had with a wild animal?
I had that many wild animal encounters.
I don't
go outside much.
Oh. Well, I watched a baboon steal a child's ice cream cone.
That's pretty funny. That's really funny. That's maybe one of the funniest things you can do.
I don't know
baboon.
If that was strange, but that was certainly a wild animal.
That baboon is a king. That baboon is funny as fuck, and I want that baboon to know that. I've encountered turtles from time to time.
I get maybe like I think when like the most impactful things I had. I'm not sure how you count strange. But in this situation, one of the most impactful things I had was when I went on safari when I was studying abroad in South Africa. It's, you know, you're in these parks that are just like acres and acres wide. There is camps basically set up that is where you stay. And the camps are basically separated from the rest of the park by like wooden fences. Like it's not pretty significant, like that big a deal. It keeps like the bigger things out, but there's like a watering hole and all that stuff. And the animals are most active when it's like dark out. So you go at dawn and you go at sunset. And in between that, you just sort of had time to like sit at the camp. And I was sitting at the camp and I couldn't remember. I think I wanted to get like my phone charger or something. And so I was walking back towards my tent and there were these just three huge Nyala standing in the middle of the path inside the camp.
What are Nyala?
Nyala are, you should go Google them. They're spelled Nyala. They're very large antelope. Fun fact about Nyala is that they are the line from the smaller side. They are the largest antelopes to use ewe and buck as opposed to cow and bull. For
these guys have fucking badass horns.
They do. And I was able to like slip around them and like get into my tent and like grab the camera and like get very close to them.
Wow.
To take photos of them on the way back. And that was, I don't necessarily think that was strange, but it was, these were truly wild animals and like particularly wild for me who had never been in Africa before. And never seen anything like them. And to have these like huge antelope, just like three of them on the path, and be able to get that close to them
Yeah, it seems like amazing. They remind their horns and their general markings kind of remind me of the forest god from Princess Mononoke.
Yeah, they have like these really interesting white markings on them. And it was also just me. Like everyone else was back in like the sort of public areas of the camp. So it was like just me alone with these like magnificent animals. And it was like that was just to be there. And like obviously I didn't touch them. I didn't get too close to them or whatever, but that was
I remembered a couple of animal encounters. Number one, when I was a kid, a big ass fucking snake appeared in my friend's front yard hanging from a tree. That one might not have been wild. That might have been an escaped pet snake, but it was a big snake. It was like a fucking, you know, boa constrictor ass big old snake. Number two, when I was a kid as well, we had like a bird, like a bird feeder in the backyard hanging from a tree. And at one point in the summer, a bunch of fucking bees turned into a beehive. And so we just couldn't let the dog out into the yard for a little bit because of the beehive at the back of the yard. And it was one of those, you know, that was one of the things where they just cling to each other. It was that kind of beehive. They didn't build a thing. It was wild.
Cool. That's very cool. I love bees.
Bees.
All right. From Sidewinder, Sabrina, if you could augment a body part, what would it be and how would you augment it? Well, given that my vision's getting worse, I would like eyes.
Like, cool, flawless, 20/20 vision, eyes, preferably with, like, lasers and shit and, like, different, like, you could see ultra, night vision, thermal vision, basically all your like camera, your full camera suite, like as long as we're augmenting ourselves.
Either that or I do something to make me fly.
I mean, that's but you can't really, it's like you gotta like weld a new part onto you pretty much, unless you get like jet boots, like jet feet. But the eyes
are real. Eyes you can do. We've had quite a few different iterations of him. So what is Shockwave's vibe in this series? Hot.
Yeah, we said it's sexy. This is Sex Wave. Which is my favorite genre of music. that's just Nine Inch Nails.
Oh my god. Sex Wave to me. Lo-fi Sex Wave beats to...
Lo-fi Sex Wave beats to...
Study to...
Sure, study.
Yeah.
We discussed this Shockwave, and he's very different from most other Shockwaves I'm used to.
Yeah.
I do like big genius Terminator Prime Shockwave though. I do like that Shockwave a lot. He works out at the gym and the library.
Wow, where do you work out?
Both. It is only logical to not skip leg or arm day and not balk at your studies. Perhaps, Starscream, if you did not skip out of the gym, you wouldn't be such a skinny little twink bitch. It is only logical.
Maybe he's proud of being a skinny little twink bitch. Ever think of that? Maybe that's what keeps him alive.
This is logical.
Sneefer from TF2 Ajax asks, what would be the coolest wild animal to have as a pet? For simplicity's sake, just assume you could get whatever you would need to have it be happy.
Capybara. I want a capybara. I love those fucking things. I will get, you know, assuming this question includes all of the things you would need to make that animal happy. Capybara.
Elephant.
Ooh. God.
For practical reasons.
What is practical about the elephant?
You can ride it.
Okay.
People do all the time in South and Southeast Asia.
True.
You can ride it. It is a beast of burden.
Very smart animal.
Yeah, they're smart. And I mean, like, that's the thing. Like, they are both cool and practical.
Yeah, you fire your gardener. Just have the elephant do the things. Like, spray the... water the flowers with its big ass trunk.
And I don't know, man. I just love megafauna. It is crazy that there is an animal that large.
Yeah, the I think about that, like the giraffes and moose and any of the other like remaining megafauna is like, you're a large animal.
It is just nuts that like this planet still has the capacity for life that large on on Earth, ground as opposed to in the ocean.
Yeah, this is like baby shit compared to what we used to have. We used to be a real country. We used to make real megafauna, damn it.
We used to have real brontosaurus.
We used to have sauropods, goddammit. My platform, I will make Jurassic Park real. Damn the consequences.
If you just stuck to the herbivores, you'd probably be mostly okay, honestly.
Yeah, no one's gonna... No, fucking Hadrosaur never hurt anybody.
You clowns keep bringing back raptors.
Remember the plot? There's your problem. Do you know what the plot of Jurassic World Kingdom is?
No, I only watched the first Jurassic World.
Okay, so you don't know about the genetically engineered combat dinosaur they try to sell to, like, Blackwater?
I mean, they would. Frankly, if they were going to go to the trouble of bringing carnivorous dinosaurs back to life, they would weaponize it.
It's like, this is an Indominus Raptor. It's Indominus Rex with a raptor. It's super smart.
Jesus Christ.
I was like, what about if you just... You just had a gun. What if you just... A gun works most of the time. You don't need a dinosaur. What if it eats you? Have you thought about that? It'd be cooler, though.
Veer has a couple more questions. Did Shockwave die for our sins? Nope, not this one and not any of them.
Most of the time, Shockwave caused all our sins.
Yeah. And will he be back for Rush Hour 3? Statistically speaking, probably yes.
I don't think Shockwave is not a one and done guy, you know. You gotta bring him back.
Slipstream Sam asks, favorite weird history fact, go.
Oh man.
Again, I'm like the word weird is really like challenging for me. I'll just go with the first one that I thought of. There are so many incidents of defenestration in Bohemia that it became like a known thing for it to happen in Prague.
I'll go with one of mine, which is the fucking Battle of Castle Itter in World War II. Do you know about this?
No.
So towards the end of the war, there was a battle where an American tank battalion, French prisoners of war, and Wehrmacht soldiers all allied to fight a bunch of SS units who were coming to exterminate them.
Sick.
It's insane. It is one of the most insane. It's one of those things where, like, there's no way that happened, and then you just hear about it and it's like, oh, and all of that shit was real. And you're like, well, okay. It's just one of those weird things that just like history just sort of fell in a weird way, and you're just like, well, this fucking happened.
Oh, I thought of one, actually.
It was wild.
The time that Napoleon got attacked by rabbits.
Favorite weird history fact, all of Napoleon's invasion of Russia, the whole thing.
Yeah.
Boy, did he fuck. Number one historical fuck up, that.
Oh, actually, no, okay. No, I know. Abe Lincoln was a pro wrestler.
Yes, I love that. I love that he was a wrestler.
Or a boxer, oh, I guess, God. Or whatever. Was he
wrestler? No, he was a wrestler. He was a wrestler,
yeah. That's crazy to me. Okay, that's a good one.
One of the big sources of, like, was Abe Lincoln secretly gay historical theories. Of which there is not insignificant evidence.
Yeah. And then finally, Veer asks again, what's your favorite death in Transformers?
Oh man, there's so many. Should we stick to what, like, I guess we can't stick to one thing. Let's stick to televised, because there's so many deaths in the comic.
We
just discussed a really good series of deaths in the comic.
You know what? If you just choose one, I think that you can do to comics.
True. Okay, what's yours?
God, I mean, Breakdown in Prime is a pretty big one.
It's brutal. It's real. It's a real nasty one. It's protracted too.
Yeah, it's bad.
The funniest one is
Pipes.
Pipes is pretty funny. It's funny in like a really macabre way. The actual funniest one is Cup getting killed by wizards in the comics. I always love that. Either Cup or Ironhag. I never remember which one of them gets killed by wizards. But yeah, Pipes. The thing about Pipes is that it's kind of funny, but also it's only funny because of how fucked up it is.
I mean, the other answer is Armada Starscream.
His is great. Armada Thrust, also very good death. Obviously different dramatic weight, yeah. But I like both of them quite a bit. My absolute number one favorite death. I mean,
I also like IDW Starscream's death, even though I hated that it happened.
Well, shit, yeah, that one's good. I want to try and stick. We talked a lot about the comics. I want to stick to one. It's really hard to top Armada Starscream. You're right. Ignoring everything that happened after that.
Right.
Ignoring what the fucking crime that followed that show. I mean, it's gonna be Optimus one, because he's died so many times.
Also, I will say, on like the other end of the spectrum, Getaway, which was just very satisfying.
fuck you, buddy. Oh, you know, I will shout this one. I can't think. I think I'm gonna select Starscream, Armada Starscream from the televised stuff.
Yeah.
Or Armada Smokescreen, which also goes hard,
mm.
even though he came back a little bit later. But like that last one where he's fucking melting. Ooh. But I think one of my favorite deaths is also an IDW one. It's Star Saber killing Diatlas.
Oh shit! Yeah,
he crushes his fucking heart and said, "Primus hates you, brother." Star Saber's death is also pretty good when it happens too. He gets fucking Metal Gear Rising revengeanced by Cyclonus. Yeah, look, there's a lot of cool deaths in this franchise.
Yeah. God, Getaways was so satisfying.
It is. It's really, really satisfying.
What a shitty way to die. Rest in shit, asshole.
Yeah, get fucked, loser. Get fucked, asshole.
Get devoured by that Ouroboros, asshole.
Yeah, I am that Grant Gustin fucking peace sign in front of the grave for that dude. All right, that is our final question here tonight for Prime Cuts, where of course you can find us on Twitter at Prime Cuts Pod. Me, you can find me at Dragon. Let me get it right this time.
I believe in you.
Smoocher on Twitter. Dragon Snuggler on co-host and Cyclonus with a 5 at the end on Tumblr. I've got other podcasts. I've got Talk Cycles, the monthly animation podcast to do with Jane, and Radio Free Heidelin, the monthly Final Fantasy XIV podcast and weekly Final Fantasy XIV streams I do with her every Wednesday. Both of those can be found at co-host at Talk Cycles and at Heidelin Radio.
Great. I'm Audrey. You can find me on Tumblr, Twitter, co-host on Blue Sky, Optima on Prime. You can also listen to the other podcast I do called Pot of Greed, which is about Yu-Gi-Oh! And we're in the middle of Yu-Gi-Oh! 5Ds. Plot. It's wild to have a Yu-Gi-Oh! Show with plot again. I've also been cast in a radio drama that I'll hopefully have more information about for you all very soon. That's me. So,
D stands for damn, there's plot.
5 of them.
Wow.
I'm gonna bring you down with me, hand in lovable hand, transform and roll out.
I am going to walk into the woods and score a cool free dog, transform and roll out.
Peach.
Peach.